for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
They call me Sully for a reason. Let's go back in time and change the future.
There's a rumble that echoes throughout all of Brightcliffs and the island of Mazteca. The moment of joy, for whatever it is over as you run outside and see undead dragons crashing into whatever field is keeping this place alive. Airships surrounding the area and dark clouds pushing forward. The sound of crashing waves is interrupted only by the moans of zombies who have walked up under the waves onto the beach.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
She, her. Don't worry. Don't cry about it. It's okay. I'm going to stay for the whole thing and none of my characters are going to die. My many, many characters, like Thea Amastasia, she, her, Guile Nighthunter Oglekanu, they, them, and Sullivan Slight, he, him.
And Tom Lair.
That's me, he, him. I really enjoyed the, like, Kathleen Turner vibe Russ had when we first started the episode. He's kind of lost that since, but I would love for that to come back. I am playing Tulgear, who goes by he, him, Flint, who goes by he, him, and Moot, who also goes by he, him.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her. I will be all these folks. She, her. We've got a Yenbul. We've got an Ilya. We've got a Glim. And maybe someone else, too.
Ooh.
There was an eyebrow raised there. I thought I better vocalize that because this is an audio medium.
And joining us today, we normally say from Bombarded, but he's pretty sure he's from Dungeons & Dragons now.
Right.
It's Kyle Classic.
It is. And I'm thinking that's right. He, him, by the way. And I will be reprising my role as Varanox, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to destroy the fucking world.
Ooh, excellent.
He, him as well for Voronox. But no, it's starting to feel like a really good place to, I mean, I brought a suitcase and I don't.
Yeah, settle in.
There's a comfy couch.
Yeah.
He's not packing the travel body wash. No, he brought the
full size.
Full size.
My suitcase is a moving van. I forgot to let you know. Sorry.
Well, you have a lot of things.
Where it feels just like home is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
Holy shit.
Didn't miss a beat.
My husband.
You could be a drummer. A drummer with how little beats you miss.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's all locked away up here. But when I was going to do it. What were you going to do?
I was going to say, and when you're a patron.
Nah, you were trying to beat me to the beat. But you couldn't. Just can't stop, won't stop.
I don't like to interrupt. It's rude. All
right, well, go ahead.
And when you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you like today's patron.
Kit LeBlanc.
Yay. Oh, dang, Kit.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you, Kit.
You're amazing. And you look great today.
Absolutely. Looking good.
And it might be the
episode is awesome.
Where the whole world ends, but that's okay. It's still a good one to have your name attached to.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're slated for two, but who knows? You're right. It could just be over.
Mm-hmm. And then we will love you till the end of the world.
This is so good. Join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast where we'll love you till the end of the world.
Oh, that's
and then right. You'll help us rebuild. We'll make it better,
faster,
bigger, less complicated, zero stronger. Time travel.
That's hope.
I already have ideas for this new world, you guys. It does not include time travel.
Every time I think about any future stories, I'm always like, less time travel.
Not less. Let's just go for zero.
Fraction of the time travel. Fuck it. Let's play. Okay, so to catch everybody up, you were getting briefed by Bahamut.
B-Man himself.
This is everybody except Lipsinky and Varnox. Getting briefed by Bahamut about where the heck you need to go, and more appropriately, when the heck you need to go.
And he gave it to us in rap form, did he not?
He did, yeah. Can we hear that rap again?
Break it down for us, Russ?
We need to go back in time to save the world. First, you got to go to the abyss, and then reminded me in Celestia. It didn't have a lot of flow. It was more free form.
Time signatures.
Poetry.
Things are different in Celestia. God's, like what rap is there is different. Yeah. So
it's more like our jazz. So
it's all about the notes you don't play.
Yeah. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, we got it. When off in the distance, you didn't see until it was too late because you were all inside a tent getting briefed by Bahamut. But the undead army of Orcus comes knock, knock, knocking at your door. You see airships high in the sky. You see dragons flying towards and being careened off of this force field. Some pressing through and like the flesh from their bodies being torn off, from the watery depths below, crawling and walking up onto the beach, there are zombies and skeletons. What do you do? You stand there in sheer panic and fear.
I'm sorry.
I was running through my Rolodex of characters. Like,
yes, I was like, who's gonna
react?
Yeah, you have
instead,
to give us a little reaction time.
We just froze.
We got to go through the list of...
Paralyzed by choice.
Is everybody else seeing this?
I guess we don't really have as much time as we thought to, like, mentally prepare and commune and maybe just like kick it with Bahamut before we had to go on our missions because...
This is so confusing.
Yeah,
time travel exists.
There's
don't
no time.
We have all the time in the world?
Nope, we have no time. We're out of time. We're sans time.
High above in one of the airships, the largest of the airships, we see Varnox and Lipsinky in like a command center of sorts with like his panoramic view of the scene below. The two of you have followed these refugees. You found their underground sewer hideout below Castle Orcus, formerly Waterdeep, for those playing the home game. Destroyed, sent an undead Kuth, a formerly green dragon, to wreck shit before you got there. They decapitated that dragon, sad face. You followed in behind and followed from a distance to where you have found them at this lush green island of Mazteca that's seemingly untouched until now by anything that Orcus or you have been dealing out across the world.
Could we get a cutscene where Varnox is like weeping over the dead Kuth and it's like, Clarence! Like, or, you know, something, whatever its name is.
Oh, Clarence, you are too young. But it's okay, the power of Orcus will see you rise yet again. We shall see it come forth, your body once more animate with the ability of the undead. Unless you were already undead and Orcus didn't fill me in on this, and that sucks if that's the case. And I'm gonna
now,
have to
more
learn...
tears, more tears.
And if that's the case, that really makes me sad. Oh, Lipsinky, console me.
Well, the thing is, his head got chopped right off. So, I mean, undead or dead, I think Clarence is gone. Is what I'm saying. Whether he was, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
I saw a lot of myself in Clarence, the greenness part, but he shall be missed. But we have things to get to. No more time for mourning, for it is the morning of the end of the world.
Damn, have you been practicing that? That was so good. I'm no. So inspired. Let's go get him.
Thanks, Lipsync. It kind of just came off of the tongue, so.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Varnox, Miss Lipsinky, we found them. They went down further into the sewers and found some vessel. I think we can release the Kraken on them.
Yes. Lipsinky, please, by all means, give the command.
No, I think it's your turn. I don't want to be selfish. Plus, you're grieving Clarence, so, you know, you go ahead.
I am grieving Clarence. And they shall pay at the tentacles of the Kraken, or all the appendages of the Kraken, that will slay them, and then we'll raise their bodies up and slay them again for their transgression against Clarence.
We cut back to the airship. Before you, you see, yes, this lush green island. There is a fount of power coming from two locations, one from the beach and one from high in one of the largest mountains in this range that lie before you, that appears to be powering whatever is holding back your main forces from the air.
Well, they've really upgraded, haven't they?
It seems so.
From sewer to this sort of tropical paradise. So, good for them. It's going to be even more satisfying.
I mean, vain attempts at surviving, really.
Well, it'll just be a sewer when we're done, so... Hope they just enjoy it for those last couple minutes.
It's true. Well, with the arcane knowledge that Orcus has granted you, where do you think we should best lead our attack?
Well... there's two sources of power, so are you feeling more beachy or more like a hiking kind of mountain vibe?
I'm curious if one may weaken the other, and if we take care of the one that's further out, our forces on land may be able to progress further into the jungle.
I like the way you think. I feel like everybody's getting real close to the beach anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those... underwater and the so maybe we should head mountain?
Yes, I think we could survey from above since we have these dope ass airships.
We are in this awesome airship with this sweet console and the great view and the binoculars and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we shall go ahead and move forward, take towards the mountain font, and let the ground forces take care of that. If there's anything that we see that's opportune along the way, we shall strike and take advantage.
I love the way you think.
Thank you, Lipsinky. Helmsman, onward.
The order's called, and the lead airship, seen from the ground, veers from its course towards the beach and begins moving towards the mountain range. Everybody below, you see this, and the four other airships follow in behind it. And the dragons continue their assault on this field that is protecting you at this present moment. Down on the beach, Bahamut puts his hand on your shoulder, Thea, and says, Varnox is aboard. Lipsinki is aboard. Now is your time to strike. Varnox has had his memories altered.
What do you mean?
He has been started on this path because of Orcus. But he believes that the gods are the ones to have decimated his family.
But that's not the case?
No. The town of Blackpool was once home to Varnox. And while away, the town was ravaged and attacked, everyone killed. Varnox returned and pled to the gods to bring everyone back. That's not something that we do, but his calls were answered by Orcus. And he came to Varnox with a vision of Pelor and told him that he could bring them back as Pelor. Orcus brought them back as the undead, which sent Varnox into this spiral of rage and fury against Pelor and against any other god who would associate himself with that. Now, I don't know if we can change that. I don't know if we can change what has happened to him, but what can change is the course of Varnox in his entire life from when we send you back. None of this world destruction could happen. Varnox could be redeemed. Does that make sense?
Yes. How do I get up that mountain?
You can follow me! Ilya, 900 way, I think we gotta lead them up the mountain. Looks like they're going towards Cat God. Cat Lord. He's up there.
The Cat Lord is up there?
Yep, that's why it's so green here. Cat Lord hid in the mountains and has just been font of knowledge. Cats hide really well.
And yet you always seem to be around.
Yeah, but you didn't notice me until that point.
Well, I mean, if we gotta go up, we better get going.
Yes, we'll take you. We'll take you. There's some sort of shortcuts that we know.
All right, who's going up the mountain? Who's staying on the beach?
Tullgear's going up the mountain.
Thea, obviously. Did you just, Ilya, tell that we're going to lead them up the mountain?
Ilya, well, 900.
Because Opal already said that.
Right.
Opal Russ already said that.
I did.
I mean, they do know the way. It just makes sense.
I like how we're refusing to split up. Like, 900 should probably stay on the beach and, like, fight.
You've got three individual parties. You're not splitting a singular party.
Right? Yeah. Okay, 900's going to stay on the beach.
She's going to chill on the beach.
They need to work on their tan.
They make a lot of time.
Opal tears off into the forest, followed by Night Hunter Ilya. I mean, he probably tears off, but then Ilya quickly passes him, is more like what happens.
Yes.
She's so fast.
Followed by Tullgear and Thea, we see them kind of pan up, running through this path, making their way to the peak of this mountain. Down on the beach, everybody left down there. Just jump in as a character who's down there. What are you doing to set up reinforcements or calls to the Tabaxi townspeople?
I think that Sullivan Slight is likely going around and telling people to get out of here, you guys. Come on. Move it. Yeah, I know your hut's here, but look at them.
We can't leave. Oh,
look
yeah.
at them.
Yeah.
Now look at you. Now look back at me. Now look at them. Look back at me, and you should probably go, otherwise you're going to be undead.
Why did I get this sword if I should leave?
Yeah, well, you're going to be like the last line of defense. If they get to you, it's too late. Go.
Okay.
Sully's not sure what he's doing. He's just getting everyone.
He's doing something.
He's doing everybody something. He feels very useful.
Everybody looks towards Sully and sees all the Tabaxi run into the forest away from the battle.
As if they wouldn't have done that anyway.
A goth was training them to be fighters.
Oh, whoops.
Oops. They're gone. They left.
Okay, so I thought that a goth was like... I thought they were going to maybe help. I mean, I totally, it's fine. I know that it's like third day with a sword or like, whatever, but.
Well, I.
They okay, can still I went, fight. I, you know what? Yeah, it's their natural habitat. They
I was
can,
in
like,
Clea.
So.
I'm just going to go back in there and just let them know, like
to be ready.
To just be hidden. Yeah. And, yeah. Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay, so everybody else, I think, I mean, I look at, you know, my friends, like, we know what to do and. It's going to be, I think, a pretty righteous battle. I'm going to pull out my holy symbol and just, like, do some extra communing with Bahamut. Just to psych myself up.
He's like, oh. He's right there.
Yeah, I guess right, I could. Right could I just, like, hold your hand for a second or something? Oh. I'm used to just sort of, like, focusing it all on this little piece of leather, but, like,
no.
There you
the
are.
Source. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And
dear
I take...
Bahamut.
I mean, I don't usually do
wow.
you want it out loud? Okay. So, and I take his hand in between my hands. Dear Bahamut, thank you for coming back and being such an awesome guy and for the amazing, oh, you're responding right in it. Okay. And,
I'm not used to this.
Thank you. Just, bless us, protect us and, I guess pick up a sword and we'll see on the other side of this?
Oh, I'm not going to pick up a sword.
Okay, well, just, like, put a lot of power through me and I'll do it.
I mean, yeah, do you have, like, a sword made of light or something cool like that, maybe, so you don't actually have to pick up a sword? You can just make your own?
I don't want to be rude. This is probably an inappropriate question, but how are you feeling? Like, could you change form or anything?
Mooglim and Sully, I think you're closest around. Like,
yeah, I've come back.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
You feel this font of energy wash through you as it's passed from Bahamut to Glim and Moot and Sully. And you gain this radiant energy about you. And you're going to get a game mechanic wise, a +5 to your attacks.
Ooh.
Dang.
Roll or damage?
+5 radiant. Fuck it. Roll and damage. Fuck it.
Ooh.
Why not?
Well, Gress
is feeling like generous tonight.
Roll and damage. As you begin to like glow with this radiant energy, Bahamut gives you a wink, Glim. And before you see this platinum dragon form as if out of the ground and shoot up into the sky, going towards the undead dragons, pounding against the force field protecting the island.
Okay, I know Glim had like talked him up for years and years and years, but like,
holy
that
shit,
that was pretty fucking
right?
cool.
Right? So
that
sick.
Was
it's
absolutely
amazing.
Awesome. Whoa. Okay, I'm a believer. Not that I wasn't before.
We cut scene as the zombies and skeletons are right behind you, and you turn with your weapons and crash into them, guts and bone flying everywhere around the three of you. Back up in the airship, you hear this roar through the air, and you turn and you look through the glass in your airship and see this platinum dragon rising up from the beach toward the dragons swarming in the sky.
That's That's not one of ours. Holy shit, is that Bahamut?
Well, that's not fair. He's supposed to be...
No, I thought...
I thought we'd already dealt with him.
I thought so too. Okay, that kind of changes some things.
I mean, I guess just prepare yourself perhaps for more loss of dragons. I know you took Clarence's death real hard, so just maybe, you know, we weren't planning on a platinum dragon being here and...
No. No, we will not falter.
It's a bit of a change.
We'll not falter. We will hold faith in Orcus, his abilities, and the plan. Stay the course.
You're reaching the top of this mountain, and it's like there's this pool, this well of energy coming up and out of it, and almost like this funnel going back down to the peak of this mountain. And we cut down to the peak of the mountain where Tulgir Thea and the God's Chosen Three have arrived, and there's this opening, this cave opening, just before you get to the peak. And Opal turns to you all and says, well, if you're... I'm pretty sure they're going to be here pretty quick. Ilya Nighthunter, we should probably go... If anybody comes in and tries to get the Cat Lord, we should probably just, like, hold them off here so we don't lose everything here.
Yes, we will be first line of defense.
We will protect the Cat Lord and the power that it provides.
Okay, I know...
With your life.
Wait, with my life?
Our lives.
With all of our lives, should that be necessary.
Okay.
Yes, that is what I said first time.
A formerly ancient red dragon presses through the force field, and the flesh is torn off and is falling off as it flies down and screams this roar that isn't a roar anymore because it's like vocal cords have been all like decimated, so it's like this high-pitched shrill gargle as you see its breath weapon unleash towards you. Roll a dexterity saving throw, please.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, no.
Well, is there something magical that I can...
I don't know. You just made your character.
I've got nothing where I can re-roll a one.
Oh, no.
Should have saved that roll for Sully.
I don't want to die first thing. Nighthunter, no.
Nobody said you would die.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle did. I appreciate your honesty, clear. Kyle.
Okay, sorry, you got...
See, you got an 11, 12, 13, 14.
14, okay.
And a 1 for Nighthunter.
17 for Tulgir.
18.
Okay, Opal got a 26.
That sounds like him.
I have a plus 9 for Dex, and that was such a bad roll.
So everybody except Opal are going to take 26 D6 necrotic damage.
Oh, I'm resistant to necrotic damage.
There you go. You know what? I just want to roll 26d6 and let's
do it.
Okay.
26d6, because you don't get to do that very often.
No.
No, you do not.
Oh, I apologize, Russ. I need to up my roll by 2 because I was looking at the wrong character sheet.
Did you beat a 24?
No, I did not. Well, then it does not matter.
Okay.
But thanks for the update, Tom.
Fair enough. So you're all going to take, except for Opal, who's going to take half, 91 necrotic damage.
But I'm also going to take half, right?
Because
I'm
resistant. You will take half because you're resistant.
What's half of 91? 46?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
As a reaction, I'm going to reduce this damage dealt to me by 1d12 plus 7.
Sure, why not?
Because, this was like 100 damage. So I'm just going to minus 1d12 plus 7, because that'll be better than nothing.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's pretty
14.
Good.
Gonna take 14 back.
Take 14 back.
Amana. Yeah, I don't need your permission.
Opal dives into the cave. Everybody else tries to shield themselves unsuccessfully. Above you, you see the lead airship above this font. How would Varanox proceed from here? Varanox and Lipsinki. We can cut back up there. You're right above where this wellspring is seemingly emitting from. It looks like there's a path down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do?
Would our airships have a way of just dumping undead on a certain point? Kind of like airdrop? Just...
I thought the exact same thing when he said we were in an airship. Like, this is fodder, right? Like, these are living undead weapons that we can just, like, launch at people.
Play it out.
All right. Center up on this point. Once we've arrived, well, you all know what to do.
Now, how many? We're just going to go for it? Kind of unload the whole?
I mean, why not? The rest of them have their payloads still ready to go and, you know...
And we're clearly here. I mean, look at all the power coming out of this place, and let's just dump the lot of them.
Even if it gives us a soft landing space, It was all for the glory of Orcus.
It's all for Orcus. That's right. That's what I always say.
Amen.
Above you, down on the mountain, you see a mass of undead. First, you hear it as like these doors open, this groaning cry as the doors open and undead rain from the sky down on you. You all have made it into like this cave opening as they like hit the mountain and roll off, and some of them land, and they all begin climbing back up towards where you are. So you want to get up there?
Yeah, we have to get up there.
Okay. I haven't done it in a while, but I could teleport you up there.
What do you mean you haven't done? You know what? I don't
there's
care.
Not
do
a lot
it.
In, there's not okay.
I'm just going to do Radiant Soul and just get some wings and just get up there.
You're going to go up there too? Okay. Am I teleporting two of you, or are you flying one of them up?
Ilya, why do not we stay here and fight the Horde so they do not get to the Cat God?
Lord. Cat Lord.
Cat Lord. Sorry.
Yeah, of course. You're right. You're right.
I know you want to be in the thick of it. We are needed here.
You're right.
But take out your wings, my love. Okay. We're married, by the way, Kyle. I'm not.
Oh, no. Good to know. Now I know
who
to use
against
who. Yeah,
two crazy kids got together. That's right. Whatever. Player knowledge, character knowledge, Kyle.
Varnox
get your shit together.
That.
I mean, Varnox doesn't know that.
Okay. Ready? What were the magic words again, Ilya? Do you remember what they were?
You put the right one in, put the right one out, put the right one in, shake it all about.
Shake it all. Okay, ready, everybody? Put the right one in, you put the right one out. Put the right one.
I mean, I don't love the sound of this.
About snap! You find yourselves up on the deck of the airship, Talgir and Thea. I panicked. It's the middle.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. I had open a Spotify playlist that said 22 songs for your classroom school in January 2021, and I did not recognize a single song.
Oh.
That is a problem.
Yep. I feel removed from pop culture, I think, is what I'm getting at, and the general radio rotation playlist of this time last year. Yeah, that's what we're getting at. Okay. So, to help us get better with it, you can join us over on Patreon. That's a lie. We won't get better with music.
We won't get better
with...
We all left radio for a reason, and we're all happy with that. And part of the reason we're happy with that is that we're doing this.
Yes.
This fun thing. And patrons help us do this fun thing that we love. And hopefully you kind of like a little bit too.
Patreon is one of the many ways that we are transitioning or trying our darndest to transition into doing podcasts full time. Could you even believe it?
I couldn't imagine, but wouldn't it be great?
It would be a dream.
But the more patrons we get, the closer we get to do that, the more content we get to create. And every step along the way helps us with that. We've been able to get equipment. We've been able to go on trips. We're planning Amy just stumbled.
Amy
into
might
the
need
room.
To go to the hospital, so yeah. We won't use the money for that. But
no, we live in Canada.
We're in Canada.
So we're
she's fine.
Yeah.
But we're planning a getaway for the group here, which patrons, the money you give us is going to help that, and you know we're going to record some sweet content while we're down there and post on the socials, which we're not very good at, but maybe we'll be good at when we're in somewhere hot.
Hey, we won't have anything else to worry about.
No, that would be good. All of that to say, your support means the world to us because it says that what you are listening to, you are choosing to donate some money to us because you appreciate the stories that we're putting out there, be it Dungeons & Dragons or Facing Fate or DM to GM if you're one of the 12 people who listen. Thank you. Thank you.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. There's more than 12. So if you want to, because that's the other big thing too. If you want to, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We have a whole bunch of different tiers up there with rewards, and depending on what you're coming there for, we've got something up there for you. If it's just support for the show, you you don't want to see our dumb faces all the time, you can do that. If you want to see our dumb faces all the time, you can do that too. And no pressure either way. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We hope to see you over there. Thank you so much for being here. And we will continue to make all the amazing things for you. Okay, bye now.
Oh my God, it worked. I thought, I swear to God, I thought we were just going to drop like,
I mean, yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen. 200 feet.
Fairly good aim.
I'm going to use my lay on hands pool and heal both of us 45 hit points.
Oh, thank you.
Cool beans. Inside the airship, Varnox and Lipsinki, you can change it if you want, but I presume like you're like kids at the aquarium, like pressed your face watching all of these undead falling towards the earth. Yeah.
It's wondrous, isn't it? Quite a sight to see bodies rain from the sky.
You know, you'd think you'd get bored of it, but you just don't. It's, I mean, look at that one just bounced. Did you see how?
It's amazing.
It went so high.
See that ogre just rolling down the hill? That's like a veritable boulder.
Oh, I know. I wish he was in the fight, but he'll just pick himself up and get in the fight down at the beach. It's fine.
It's going to be hilarious. Nobody's going to see it, and then out of nowhere,
you hear a thud up on the deck.
What the?
Well, that's...
That's not the way they're supposed to be coming from.
That's unusual.
Some soft footsteps. Just not walking in any really direction. Just kind of, it sounds like they're just pacing on the spot.
Well, maybe we've got some company.
Definitely doesn't sound like undead footsteps. I think we both know what that sounds like.
Indeed. It's been a long time since we had company.
Well, let's go greet them. Would be uncivil not to do so.
A very warm Orcus welcome.
Back down on the mountain, Opal, Elia, Night Hunter. Opal looks to the two of you. I think it worked.
Yes, I think you did it.
It seems like they made it there.
Okay.
Good job, Song Kitty.
What? Thank you. Wow.
No, I don't pass out. I know it's...
You're getting lightheaded, Elia. I can't speak.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Get it together. This is why I don't compliment him.
No, you don't compliment me. It's okay. There's some coming up over there.
Prepare yourself, some kitty.
I was going to say, where's the best hold point? Like here or further in? Like where are we? Is it a choke point? Is that what they say?
I mean, Night Hunter stops listening and charges and... meet the oncoming onslaught of undead.
Okay, yeah, choke him, choke him. Cut back choke. Down to the beach.
Choke him.
On the floor, like, why won't you die?
Back down on the beach. Let's just do a quick round robin of what everybody's doing. Moot.
Moot has actually set up a wall of light on the beach. Where all of these, like, undead zombies were coming out of the water.
Yeah.
So as they, like, appear, they, you know, take a bunch of radiant damage. And this wall of light actually, like, also shoots beams of radiant light into targets as well as they're showing up. If they're maybe outside of the jurisdiction of the wall itself.
Love it. So, yeah, this light is emanating out and getting this massive wave pushing them, incinerating them back into the water from whence they came. Glim up in the air and flying down towards you, there's this flock of, probably murder is probably a better bird term for these, murder of rocks screaming down towards you.
I don't know, flock of rock is pretty
does
flock
sound pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Glim is just has the Vorpal longsword and just is taking them as they approach to try to be beheading them.
Love
because
it.
Because that's
it's just
a
your
good
signature
way,
go-to move.
It's a good way to get rid of a lot of rocks. A lot of flock of rocks.
That's right.
We see Glim like almost jumping up on top of them and beheading them as they're falling. So you're rising in the air as this is happening, and it's like you're riding them down towards the beach. It's so badass. But as you're riding back down to the beach, one of them is coming in behind you. Make a dex saving throw, please.
18.
One of them, like, catches you in the back and pushes you forward. You're going to take 9 piercing damage as you fall down towards the ground. Kyle, how high up is Glim at this point?
I would probably say, if it's a murder, they'd probably be spiraling. So I'd say maybe like 80 feet.
Whew. All right. So we're going to roll 8d6 for fall damage. You're going to take 35 bludgeoning damage as you hit the ground below. Up in the sky, we see Bahamut being swarmed by all of these undead adult and ancient dragons that have broken through the threshold. The power is just not strong enough to hold them back anymore. Flint, you are groggily waking up from the earthquake that has happened, and your eyes crack open, and the entire city of Mithril Hall before you has fallen. The cave around it has crashed in down around you. You look over and you see Bort covered in a pile of rubble before you. You don't see any other people or hear any screams or anything. Like, it's eerily silent at this point.
I'm going to go try and get the rocks off my bud.
Okay. Sorry, you said rocks off.
I did. It's true.
You begin pulling these huge stones off and drag him away from this rubble. It looks like he's uninjured as his eyes begin to open. What happened?
I don't really know. The city is destroyed, and you're okay, though? You look okay.
I feel fine.
That's great news.
You okay?
I think so.
At that, there's this beam of light. Comes from the roof of this cave down to the center of town. Does that normally happen?
Nope. Usually when I've seen things like this before, it's like the start of a quest.
Cool. maybe this is the way out of whatever dream hopping we're doing.
Oh, you know, that's a good call. It probably is. Race you there?
The two of you run off, hopping over this rubble and climbing up over these fallen buildings. Flint, you're looking around and you're not seeing any other remains, any other people, any other injured, anything. Like, the city is empty now, where to you a moment ago it was fully populated.
Sure.
You get to where this light hits the ground, and there's this pedestal in the center of town, and everything around it is clear. And you go and look at the pedestal and look up through the light, and you see it kind of begin to flicker. You wait a moment, and the light begins to dim. And then you hear this call, like this echoing, roaring call, as a dragon comes into view above you and Bort. Bort immediately begins to stumble back.
Flynn, like, grabs his axe. It's not his first, rodeo when it comes to dragons.
Flint, you grab your axe, and this dragon, as it comes more into view, is this giant black dragon. And it lets go its breath weapon down on you as we cut back out to the deck of the airship, where Thea and Talgir are standing.
All right, so what's the game plan?
Okay, so I was given a little insider information from Bahamut that we can use to hopefully change Varnox's mind on this whole thing. Now, with that, I feel more confident about that. But Lipsinky is a little bit of a wild card there. We didn't know her for very long, lost her in a portal. She suffered for years and, you know, hell. So, like, not 100% sure. Might have to kill her. Don't want to, but...
Sure. No, I like we're aiming to convert both of them, right?
Yes.
That's the plan?
Yeah, but if all else fails, chop chop.
All right. Is there like, do we have like a code word for if we think things are going south and it's like go time?
Yeah. That's good. We should think of a code word. How about Dragon Ball?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good to me.
Okay.
it's one of those ones that, you know, doesn't normally come up in conversation, mm-hmm. So it'll really stand out.
Yeah. Oh, okay, wait, was that not the idea? Should we choose one that's more? I don't want it to just accidentally pop out of my mouth and then you
well,
like,
no,
cut
no,
them
we
down.
Want it to be a very specific word.
Oh, okay,
yeah, you don't just
I could work
like,
that into a conversation. Like,
well, I mean,
no problem.
Sure, yeah, okay.
All right. Ooh, I'm really nervous.
If you say that, I'm going to hit him with everything I've got.
Oh, no, and I expect you to, and I know that would be a lot. Diplomacy first?
Yep,
hacking
yep,
slashing
yep.
second.
No, I'm all on board if we can get him. Just if you think we're not going to be able to, you just let me know.
Hey, Varnox, you remember that thing that I did that one time with the thing and with the... Can I just do a thing?
Yes.
Just when we... Because I think you're going to like it.
I'm excited to see it. I'm ready to do a thing as well.
So when we approach them, or I guess I shouldn't speak for Varnox, when Lipsinky approaches them, they don't know because, you know, this is her ship. She knows her way around. Sneaks up and is going to cast Maddening Darkness where they are on the deck. So... Magical darkness spreads from a point. It's very dark. Dark vision can't see through it. There's a lot of shrieks and gibbering and mad laughter within this sphere. So that's sort of my entrance as Lipsinky. Or it's not, because you don't even see me because you're in this maddening darkness. It's
cacophonous sound of laughter and shrieks and cries and complete and utter pitch black. Envelops you, Thea, and Tallgear.
I bet they weren't expecting that.
They weren't.
Tallgear?
And to follow it up, bust out the Wand of Orcus, and I cast Circle of Death, which has a 60-foot range, or a 60-foot area. And since I know I can't see the center of that and everything, I'll just focus it as close to it as possible.
Okay.
And that would require them to make a Constitution saving throw, DC 18.
I rolled a 20.
Nice. You'll take half as much damage then.
Oh, that's better than all of it.
And I rolled a 23.
Perfect. We rolled my 8d6. And that is going to be 33 halved would be 17 necrotic damage.
Fuck.
Whoever's going to go needs to do something at the beginning of their turn, so...
Okay. I guess I'll go first. Now, are we unclear as to where they're located?
Yeah, you're in the maddening darkness.
They, like, plinked up, like, the staircase, like, just behind you, and were peeking through the door in the floor, so you didn't see them.
So before you do anything, maybe make a wisdom saving throw?
Ooh.
I can do that for you. I do have a +9, which is pretty great.
Ooh, that's
25.
Good.
Okay, so you're going to take half 8d8 psychic damage.
Dang.
And is it still dark?
Super dark.
Oh, it's still dark. Still dark. Scary.
So dark, so scary.
38, so half, so...
19.
Yes, 19.
Perfect. I guess the chatting part of the program was forgotten by you guys.
Well, we didn't know what your plan was.
Yeah, I don't know who's married to who.
All right.
For all you know, we're married. I don't know.
Could be.
Russ, I have a skill called Cleansing Touch.
Cool, I love it.
Which I can use my action to end one spell on myself or on one willing creature that I touch.
Yep.
Does that include... their spells that are affecting us?
I think so, because, yeah.
Yeah, you can just end spells.
Yeah, if it succeeds, if it succeeds, I would say that, yeah.
I mean, it isn't even a thing I have to roll for.
It's just a thing that happens.
Do.
Cool beans,
Kay.
Do it, baby.
I'm gonna reach out and touch Thea, and I'm going to use Cleansing Touch and stop the crazy darkness spell from messing with her.
Okay. Yeah, you stumble through and you bump into what you presume is Thea, because I don't think either of you ran around really fast in the last half a second.
That's not
I mean,
what
she
you
was
do.
Standing right
when
next
you,
to me.
When you plunge into darkness, you don't just run around.
On an airship.
On an airship. For that
well,
matter.
Catch me.
God.
Teleport me back.
Yeah, just shoot me right back up there.
The darkness and the whispers end for Thea. So Thea, I would say you can see obscured as if like dark vision. So like grayscale, not full vision back.
Mm-hmm.
And the whispers and screams and madness goes away. If that seems fair for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, except for the whispers and screams and madness of all the undead that are just getting barreled out of the bottom of this airship.
Those are
other than that, it sounds great.
Yeah. My favorite.
That happens. Is there anything else that Talgir can do?
I mean, let's see here. He probably has some bonus actions. Nope. Two weapon fighting seems to be his biggest bonus action, so.
Okay.
He does have some spells, but I will hold on to those for when I get to stop that on myself.
Right. So you look around.
Thea's no fucking idiot. And she is going to continue to act as though she can't see shit. Varnox, Lipsinky, can I talk to you guys for a sec?
Do we want to parlay in any way?
Well, I don't know. I don't not want to talk to them.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I think we've got this in the bag. Let's entertain them a little bit.
Aren't you a little bit curious to find out how mad they were when they finally got out of that pyramid and they found out all that time had passed and they'd been stuck in that pyramid the whole time and we were taking over the world?
I know. I think it's hilarious that most of the things that have happened have been because of their own doing. Like, literally, they've kind of caused all of this. I don't know how far I would have gotten without them coming into town and, you know, letting you out and letting... It may not have ever worked out.
I never would have even ended up in the abyss if I hadn't gotten, you know, taken into that portal. So it's
Well, then we should do it out of thanks to them.
Yes, in gratitude for bringing Orcus more fully into our lives.
Indeed.
Yeah, we could chat.
Or you could do it for Acer.
What do you know of Acer? Open the door full on.
Kicks the door open.
As the door opens, Thea turns and says, "Hear me out." But then also immediately casts hold person on them. Well, I want them to listen. Sometimes you just have to tie a person down to make them listen. So you guys have to make a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed and have to listen to my diatribe for the duration.
I'm a lot more sympathetic to people when they tie me up first.
Yeah.
Totally.
Hey, they came out swinging first. I have to also show that, you know.
I have advantage, so it's an 18. Oh, and an 11. So 18.
Same. I rolled a 4 and a 6, which puts me at a 19.
So like nothing happens. I wiggle my fingers at you and I'm like... That's what I say. And then I say, you don't think you know what you know.
I don't know what that means. What is she talking about?
I don't know either. You speak in riddles, Thea. Get to your point.
Is it intriguing enough to maybe take down the darkness? Let us talk for a moment. Do you have any liquor?
I mean, is the darkness even affecting you? Because you literally just cast a spell on me, which...
Oh, no, I mean, it's so scary. It's very, very loud.
You can see me.
I can barely hear you. Yeah, no, I can't.
So.
I can see it.
Fine.
Yeah. No, I can see
you. You guys...
But Talgir,
too. All right, fine.
All right, just hear me out, and then, you know, if we can keep fighting, and I won't, like, you know, pull any shitty things on you. Like, we'll just, like, full out, like, really give ourselves a run for our money, okay?
You saw what I did to Shamalama Bing Bong with this wand.
I mean, I didn't see it.
I don't know who you are.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, this is... Okay, sorry. Introductions. Talgir, this is Varnox, and Lipsinky.
I mean, I figured.
Really, an introduction is necessary. In their young years, they have accomplished so much.
Oh, I mean, well, that's... We really have ridden the Orcus corporate ladder right to the top.
Lipsinky, hold it. We are not rolls to be buttered.
Oh, Well,
hey, I mean, who else butters your roll?
Well, we've got
That's private.
Yeah, I mean, that's private. That's what I was going to say, too.
You're a dirty birdie, and I like it. Okay, so about this liquor, you've got any anywhere? You know what? And then Anthea pulls out a wineskin and takes a swig and is like, anybody, this is going to be heavy, y'all. This is going to be heavy. Varnox, you especially, like for you, for sure.
If it is as heavy as you say it is, then I'd rather be in my right mind to understand it.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 110, starring Amy Moore as Thea Amastasia, Sullivan Slight, and Gael Nighthunter Ogallakanu, Carla Maxted as Yenbul Nuri, Glim, and Elia Strong, Tom Laird as Tulgir Heavyfoot, Flint Firebeard, and Moot, with Kyle Classett as Varanox, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Darylith, Lulahan, and L.A. Branton. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
I don't know how this has turned into an episode about Clarence.
Me neither, but I love
I'm
it.
I'm here for it.
I do. I had it in my heart.
It's the most
Wait,
beloved
do we have
of
clearance?
Our characters.
We have clearance, but we don't have Clarence. Bust out the Wand of Orcus, and I cast... I clicked off of it. Piss.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
I'm Carlotta Botox, actress, thinktress, and influenceress, and I'm spilling all the tea on Hollywood.
Name?
Carlotta Botox.
B-O-T-O-X. Spell the first name.
It's actually Botox. B-E-A-U-T-O-X.
Of course it is. First name?
Botox is actually my last name. My first name...
Okay there, who's on first? I know it's your last name. Now I want you to spell your first name.
Oh, Carlotta. It's C-A-R, as in the automobile. L-O-T-T-A, like lot of talent.
Wow. Just wow.
There's also an umlaut.
The f*** is an umlaut?
It's two dots and it goes over the...
Okay, Carlotta, two dots. Just take a seat over there. We'll call you when we're ready. Meanwhile, we'll gird our loins.
Check out the Carlotta Botox Chronicles, available now on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher.